The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So today is Dogen Day. I've been away the last few years, and finally I get to be here for Dogen Day, and really pleased about it. Because great Master Dogen is very important to us. He's one of our great ancestors of our tradition who brought the Dharma, well, brought the sort of Zen, actually, from China to Japan. And so we venerate him specially. And today I'm going to talk, well, he actually was also a very prolific writer, a deep thinker, and he wrote a huge work called the Shobogenzo. And I'm going to talk about one sentence from this enormous work, which is one of my favorite quotes from Shoji, Life and Death. When the Buddha does all, and you follow this doing effortlessly and without worrying about it, you gain freedom from suffering and become yourself Buddha. It sounds so easy and simple. The Buddha does all, and you just let him do it, kind of thing. But like many things, it's not so easy to put into practice. It's really profound. Like a lot of what great Master Dogen writes, sounds really simple. You look into it, and it's really profound and not always easy. When the Buddha does all, what does that mean? When the Buddha does everything, it means, first of all, getting me out of the way, getting the self out of the way. We're always talking about getting the self out of the way. And for some of us, it's one of those phrases that kind of goes by us, you know, get the self out of the way, you know. And we don't really connect with it sometimes. So I might just talk about it a little bit. Getting the self out of the way. It means first, sitting still. When we think there's something to be done, we tend to rush off and do it in our way, you know. But when the Buddha does all, it means to sit still and to listen. What's really needed here? Maybe not the thing I'm going to rush off and do. Maybe not at all what you first thought. Maybe I don't need to do anything. Maybe it's better if I just keep out of it, you know. When the Buddha does all, not me, not my little brain or my little thoughts or views, but just allowing the Buddha to do it, you know, allowing true nature to do it. And it means trusting that the Buddha or Buddha nature is within us and that we are in fact able to let the Buddha do it. We are a vessel, a pipe for Buddha nature, for innate goodness to come through. We're a vessel through which it can be expressed, because we are all part of Buddha nature. We're not separate. It's not Buddha nature, all good and pure over there, and this slimy little me down here. We are part of it. And this is faith. The faith that we can sit still and trust that something will come through, that something will clarify. We will know what to do. Sometimes we just have no idea. We just have to wait and be patient. And sometimes we're wrong. We think we know what needs doing, and we're wrong. Sometimes we mistake what we want for what's good. It's easy to think that what I want is what's best. You know, I really want this, it must be a good thing. Maybe not. Or you might have some ideal. If I was a really good person, I'd do this, you know. And maybe it's not appropriate. Maybe you want to go and help somebody, and actually they don't need our help, or they don't want our help. You better just leave them be and let them figure it out for themselves. It can often be the case that we think we know what's really good to do, and we're wrong. However, we still try to open up to that innate wisdom that we have, that innate goodness that is within us, to open up to that, and to do our best. And sometimes we need to take advice. Ask somebody else, what do you think? Taking refuge in the Sangha. Really helpful, so we don't think, you know, I have the ear of God and I know what I'm doing. Because we don't always know what we're doing. And it also means, you know, when the Buddha does everything, it doesn't mean we can't stir hand or foot without asking the Buddha, what should I do here? You know. It does mean being present and aware as best we can, sitting still in the small and the large conditions of our lives, as best we can and as much as we can, being here, seeing also what our mind is up to, seeing where our impediments are, our fears and desires and so forth, and being willing to relinquish them, to just let them go, getting the self out of the way, seeing that self with all its stuff, and just relinquishing, being willing to let go of that and let it clarify, to take a minute, to sit still and trust that we will know what's best. So this brings us to this following this doing effortlessly. When we, the Buddha does all and we follow this doing effortlessly. Sounds easy, but actually it can take us years of concentrated effort to learn to follow the Buddha effortlessly. We may have massive resistance. I don't want to do it. I don't like it. You know, overwhelming desires and cravings, you know, it may not be what the Buddha would do, as it were. Unending views and opinions about absolutely everything. It can be very hard to let go of. I know how this should be done in tiny little ways. I know how to clean a toilet, you know. Fear of not being in control. The Buddha's doing everything, I'm just following. Where is it going to take me? I don't seem to be in the driver's seat here. You know, it can be a frightening thing when we like to have everything kind of tied down and know where we are, and we don't actually, but we think we do. Distrust of ourselves and our own ability to know what's good to do. You know, will I know when the Buddha's bellowing at me? Will I hear it? You know. Plus all sorts of other impediments. And of course, hearing this sort of internal voice doesn't necessarily mean literally hearing, though for some it does. Sometimes it just means getting a sense of what's good to do. Let's just sit with this and just, I'm not sure that's a good idea. Just somehow I just don't get a feeling it's the best. Let's wait. Maybe not. But it can be hard to do that. Because we have so many driving things like wanting this, wanting that, trying to get this, trying to help that person, fear of this, distrust of that, all this stuff. And our endless training that we do is working on this poor little battered self with all its desires and fears and opinions and worries and resistances and everything. Our practice of willingness, the willingness to follow, which doesn't mean weakness or weak-mindedness. It's an openness and actually a strength, because it takes strength to be willing to give up, to relinquish control, relinquish what we think we want, relinquish having to have it our way. Here in the monastery, we're constantly telling people how to do things. This is how I'd like the onions chopped. This is how we'd like to have the shower cleaned. This is how we like the beds made. This is how you clean the toilet. And people might think, I know how to clean a toilet. I know how to chop onions. And it's not because we think people don't know how to do this, these things. It's because of the great benefit in simply being willing to put down our opinions and follow. And the more efficient we are, or the more capable we are, or the more good we are at doing things, the harder sometimes it can be to just put it down. If we're a chef, you might find it hard to be told I don't want them this way, I want them that way, you know. Or a professional bed maker, you know. I don't know. It's hard sometimes to put down our competence and just follow in a simple way. But this is what we do. It's really helpful. Because, as I said, we're not becoming just mindless. We're learning to follow the direction, actually, of our own heart. Not just follow somebody else's direction, which is a step to following the direction of our own true nature, our own heart that knows wisdom and kindness. And if we're just still enough to listen to that and follow that, the whole thing is a whole lot better. When the Buddha does all, we're part of Buddha. We are part of Buddha nature. It's not something else, something separate from me. We're part of it. We have access to it. It is within us. And we do not need to doubt that. So when you follow this doing effortlessly and without worrying about it, not trying to force things. Sometimes we're trying to do something and it just doesn't seem to be working. You know, we keep having obstacles arise. We're trying to do something. I really need to do such and such. And sort of impediments come up at every turn. And sometimes something's trying to tell us this isn't a good idea, you know. Not always, but sometimes it would be good just to let it go or to wait. Sometimes it might be a good thing to do, but not now, to wait. And if we can be patient and wait and just see, let it clarify, is it good to do? Is it good to do later? Just wait and see. Sometimes, here's the right time, you know. Quite often, I have it in mind to do something, and I'm just not doing it. And I used to think, this is just because I'm lazy or, you know, procrastinated, terrible procrastinator. What is that? But sometimes it's because it's actually not a good idea. And I find myself just not getting to this thing. It's sitting on my desk or wherever, and I'm just not doing it. I don't have the heart for it. And I'm beginning to learn to trust that, that if I just don't want to do it, let's wait. Even in quite small things, writing to someone to thank them for something. You'd think you'd do it right away, but sometimes I find myself waiting. And then when I get to do it, I can do it with my whole heart. I have the time, I have the heart for it. And it's better than kind of trying to crank something out in a quick moment, as it were. Or the situation changes. Sometimes procrastination pays off. Every now and then, we don't do the thing, and it turns out it'd be better that we didn't do it. And we think, oh, I didn't do it. So, it does happen quite a lot. So, of course, then it's procrastination works just often enough for us to keep sometimes thinking, well, let's see, I really need to do this thing, you know. Sometimes we're really late with a reply to somebody. And we might think, oh, this poor person will be really upset. Turns out to be fine because we can actually, again, reply wholeheartedly. And half of my replies to people are apologies for being late, but at least I'm doing it. But if I don't panic and just try to do it as best I can at the right time and not trying to force things, usually it works out okay. And, of course, sometimes you just have to get on and do something. Here's a thing, here's a moment, get it done. And that happens too. But not always. Sometimes you have to wait. But again, it's like the Buddha does all. It's not like, again, hearing the voice of God. God is telling me, or the Buddha is telling me to do this. I need to do this. It's not like that. It's not a woo-woo thing. It's really, it's just listening, being still and being patient and being willing to do it differently, or to wait, or to just follow. Not to get all worried, you know, without worrying about it. To be concerned is not indifference, you know. Oh, I'll just do things as they take me, you know. It's just not getting all worried. Trusting that it'll work out all right. And usually it does. Sometimes it doesn't. Often it does. Usually it does. Trusting our own instinct, you know, that knows now is the time. do it. Or hold off, just wait, not ready. And again, not getting all caught up in worry and hurry, or expectations, my expectations or somebody else's expectations. You know, in our day and age, it's hard sometimes not to be panicked by an email. You know, I have to reply right away. Even though sometimes somebody will say, I sent you an email yesterday, why haven't you replied yet? Well, you know, you just do your best. You can't, if you're trying to keep up with everything, you lose your footing, you know, to just do our best with patience and faith that that is as it should be, with stillness, not panic. And sometimes we do drop the ball, sometimes we do miss the deadline, forget the thing, not get the whatnot, you know, miss something urgent or that's timely, but I think I, for one, do a lot better if I'm not in a constant panic, trying to get everything done, be perfectly efficient, have everything tied down. It's better if I just trust that it will actually work out for the best if I try my best to just sit still, be patient. Not trying to control everything or do everything perfectly. Stillness and patience. It's not giving up responsibility. It's taking responsibility. I am responsible for what I do, what I think, for the harm or good that I might do to myself or others, for my intentions, my attitudes of mind. I'm responsible for all these things. And it's much better if I'm not running myself ragged, trying to live up to my own expectations or somebody else's, or conform to something that doesn't feel quite right somehow. You know, being asked to do something that doesn't seem good, or just getting a sense that I had this bright idea. Maybe not, you know. I'm just a little part. We are just a little part of everything. We're not in charge, we're not in control, we're not at the center of things. We're just a little part of the picture. When the Buddha does all and you follow this doing effortlessly and without worrying about it, you gain freedom from suffering. There is a relief in it. It's liberating. Again, it's not just abdicating responsibility. It's relinquishing worry and control. And when we don't follow the call of the heart of Buddha nature, we do suffer. There is freedom from suffering when we follow that call of the heart. Precepts, the conduct of Buddhas. When the Buddha does all, we're keeping to the precepts. When we break the precepts, we suffer and other people suffer. When we keep to the precepts, when we're sitting still, the Buddha nature is in charge. Stillness, meditation, precepts all go together. And we're in harmony with our true nature. Keeping to the precepts isn't always easy or effortless by any means. Sometimes it's really, really hard to do something that we know is right, or to refrain from something that we know is not right, even though everything is pushing us to do it. To hold out and say, I don't think so, I'm sorry. I don't think it's good to do this. It can be hard. Or when you really, really want something that we shouldn't have, or we're really upset and we want to yell at somebody or hurt them, to refrain can be hard, but is a whole lot better than just giving into it and creating suffering. Better to just to sit still within the heart, wait, let it clarify, not just do the thing we shouldn't do, you know. Gaining freedom from suffering, relinquishing suffering, relinquishing the clinging to our views, our ways of doing things, our desires, our idea of who we are and what that means, you know. When the Buddha does all, well, where am I in this picture, you know? To step aside, to let go of me who's in charge, and let our true nature be in charge, while still being responsible, still being aware of what we're doing, still taking care with things, with people. But to let that bigger thing be in charge, to follow. And when we do this, when the Buddha does all, and we follow this doing effortlessly and without worrying about it, gaining freedom from suffering, you become yourself Buddha, says Dogen. Now, we don't worry about becoming Buddha. We don't say, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be Buddha. We just do the best we can. We already have the nature of Buddha. We're already part of Buddha nature. We just do the best we can. Constantly, Dogen says, training and enlightenment are one. Just to do the training, to do the practice, is to practice enlightenment, is to become Buddha. Not in some dramatic, earth-shattering way, but just manifesting the nature of Buddha. Showing that, allowing it to come forth, allowing that pipe, as it were, to let it flow through, to let the kindness and wisdom, the nature of Buddha, the stillness, flow through us to help ourselves and other beings. We just have to trust it, to open up to it, to turn towards it, to do our very best. Trusting our training, you know, wanting to become Buddha, worrying about our training, our poor meditation or our not very good keeping of the precepts. It gets us started and it gets our attention. We sort of can think, yes, I could be doing better here. I better work better at this, dealing with my temper or whatever, or my, you know, being a little bit more aware. But really, we have to trust it. We have to trust our intention, our aspiration, our wish to follow the Buddha nature. We have that. We all have that. That wish to do the best, wish to aspire to the best, to follow our innate wisdom and kindness. We all want that. And to trust that wish and to allow it to come forth, just keep out of its way, you know. To keep true to it, entrust ourselves to it, and do our very best to live in harmony with it. It's a huge thing when the Buddha does all. It's a massive thing. It's the work of a lifetime, actually, because it encompasses all of our training, all of our aspiration for truth. It is living the life of faith when the Buddha does all and we follow this doing effortlessly and without worrying about it to gain freedom from suffering and become Buddha. It's huge. And Dogen, right after he says this, says, since the above is so, what is there to hinder you within your own mind? The way to Buddhahood is easy. They who do not perpetrate evil, they who do not try to grasp at life and death, but work for the good of all living things with utter compassion, giving respect to those older and loving understanding to those younger than themselves. They who do not reject, search for, think on, or worry about anything, have the name of Buddha. You must look for nothing more. Good enough for me. How are we going to do this? I have no idea. But we do our best. Thank you.